These explanations had been based on Tibetan sources. But, as in modern Western psychology, there are several schools of thought in Buddhism. The Venerable Kusalachito, a monk in the Thai Theravada tradition, had been asked to represent the perspective from the classic Pali scriptures. The Bante, as monks are addressed in Thailand, commented, "If we could go back to number 17, shamelessness. In Pali, it's the word ahirika, no shame. If you have ahirika, you can readily do bad things, not just disturb others, but even kill." But number 18 in Pali would be anatopa, being inconsiderate of others. You have no fear of bad karma. You can also do bad things, but because you never consider the consequences. Unquote. It is a type of utter irresponsibility and a lack of concern about long-term consequences, Allen summarized. That's a very quick sketch. Now you have our list. You'll notice that you might quickly deem some of them to be emotions, and others are not emotions at all. But this is a meaningful categorization for Buddhist purposes. The categorization of emotions per se never came up, because it was not deemed particularly useful. "Yes," Francisco Varela said, "but isn't it a little funny that some come with emotions and some don't?" Here Francisco was highlighting a fundamental difference in the very paradigms that gave rise to the Western and the Buddhist notions of destructive emotions. For the West, the positive or negative valence of an emotion, pleasant or unpleasant, figures in, along with the question of whether that emotion can lead people to harm themselves or others. For Buddhism, destructiveness depends on a much more subtle measure of harm, whether a mental state, including an emotion, disquiets the mind and interferes with spiritual practice. As Allen summarized the point, in Tibetan, a mental affliction is defined as a mental process that has the function of disrupting the equilibrium of the mind. They all have that in common, whether or not there is a strong emotional component to it.